Nowhere to Run by Mary Jane Clark. Read by Angela Pierce.
Prologue. Friday, November 14th. The silver New Jersey Transit commuter train slid to a stop at the red brick station. Only one passenger alighted. Pulling the overcoat collar up against the brisk night wind, the passenger stood on the platform, trying to get some bearings. The passenger pulled a folded piece of paper from a coat pocket and opened the computer-printed directions. On the walk to the stairwell, images of the friendly co-hosts of Key to America smiled from a billboard illuminated by the station lights. There was no escaping those two. Constance Young and Harry Granger, they were everywhere. Down the concrete stairs and through the spray-painted tunnel beneath the railroad tracks, past the graffitied messages, a hand-drawn eyeball wept from the cement wall with tears marked fear, anger, anguish, and terror, as if the artist had somehow known that those emotions were the very ones to bring the traveler to this comfortable town tonight. Another set of stairs led up to the main street. Friday night, moviegoers were filing out of the old Maplewood Theater. It was easy to mingle among them, eavesdropping on their critiques of the film that was setting box office records. The post office sat across the street. It would have been so easy to go that route instead of hand-delivering the envelope that lay triple-wrapped in the plastic inside the coat pocket. But those poor postal workers had already been through enough. The goal tonight was not to reach some random target. This time, the lethal white powder was intended for one very specific person. At the first corner, the smell of roasting garlic wafted from the village trattoria, inviting passers-by to come and enjoy the delectable pleasures that waited inside. But there was no chance for that now, or even for a cup of coffee from the nearby Maple Leaf Diner. It was important to stick to the plan and return to the station in time to make the 12:39 back to Manhattan. Plush stuffed turkeys and overflowing cornucopias decorated the windows of the gift shop on the corner of Highland Place. A baseball cap was donned as the right-hand turn was made, as the map indicated. Past the liquor store and Saint-Denis and a much-too-quick perusal of its menu, ossobuco milanese, veal shank with risotto and saffron, they were eating well in the burbs. Out of the business district now, the road began to incline. One wooden Victorian-style house followed another. Each nestled behind well-established shrubs and giant old trees. Porch lights revealed the odd numbers on the right-hand side of the street. A teenager walking a dog passed, a double sneeze in the cold night air. Straining legs reached the very top of the hill. Number 31 was the last house. The street lamp cast enough light to see the house number, but there was no light coming from within the house. He wasn't home. Perfect. It couldn't be going better. After a furtive look around the deserted street, it took just a few seconds to unwrap the stamped envelope and stash it in the mailbox on the porch landing. Back at the station, with time to spare, the leather gloves were peeled off, along with the nitrile ones beneath them. Both sets were plunked in the deep trash barrel that rested on the platform, just as the city-bound train rumbled into view. Saturday, November 15th. The phone rang all morning, well-wishers celebrating his 36th birthday, but there was no call from Annabelle. He pulled on his sweatpants and tied his running shoes, determined to get some exercise, get those endorphins pulsing, and work off that beer he'd guzzled the night before. He was feeling strong and optimistic that in the year to come, things were really going to start going his way again. With his manuscript finished and the prospects for selling it good, his spirits were high. He well knew what made a bestseller, and his project had all the earmarks of a hit. The fun part was imagining what he was going to do with all that money. Maybe on his 37th birthday, he'd fly some friends down to the islands to bask and party in the Caribbean sun. If only Annabelle could come along. At first, the cold air shocked him. Then he welcomed it as his body temperature rose.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?